Can a literary character be said to live a life from birth to death, or otherwise to undergo a development from beginning to end? Or is a literary character fixed on the pages of a book, trapped forever in the same few words and actions, the very opposite of a living, developing human being? Contention on this point shaped a century of Hamlet criticism, according to a recent survey by William Kerrigan, who calls the two contending groups the critics and the scholars. The critics, he says, dominant at the start of the century, believed in character. They believed that to talk about Hamlet the play, you had to talk about Hamlet the man, what he said, what he did, and how he changed during the time between his first and his last words on stage. The scholars, dominant in the middle of the century, took as their motto Hamlet's own line, "The play's the thing." They believed that, empirically speaking, there was no Hamlet, only Shakespeare's words on the page, and that therefore one could legitimately talk only about them. If one went beyond them, it could not be into the imagined rest of Hamlet, for the rest was silence, to borrow another line from the play. One could go only into the rest of Elizabethan drama and Elizabethan society, seeking other plays that Shakespeare might have known, deepening one's knowledge of the language he spoke, and so forth. The dean of the critics was A.C. Bradley, whose still influential Shakespearean tragedy was published in 1904. The turning point from criticism to scholarship and from character to dramaturgy as a focus may be dated to 1933, when L.C. Knights wrote a famous essay, "How Many Children Had Lady Macbeth?" mocking Bradley's assumption, naive in Knights's view, that literary character could ever be talked about in its own right. Knights believed that Bradley's approach was perhaps appropriate for biography, but certainly inappropriate for literary criticism. For decades, Kerrigan shows, the triumph of scholarship over criticism seemed complete. Most of those now teaching and writing about Shakespeare were trained by scholars. Yet criticism never quite folded its tent, and in the last years of the century an interesting bifurcation has occurred. On the one hand, the kind of historicism whose rise may be dated to Knights's essay has been succeeded by a new historicism with intellectual debts to French thought. Broadly, where the old historicism sought to understand the history that was embedded in the text of the play, the new historicism seeks to understand the play as itself embedded in history. Thus, Kerrigan writes, "Stephen Greenblatt, the best known of the new historicists, famously concludes his Renaissance Self-Fashioning with the declaration that he had started to write a book on Renaissance individuals, but discovered in the end that there are no individuals." One is somewhat amazed to learn at the beginning of his Shakespearean negotiations that he started this book too, in a quest for the writer's unique intensity, but discovered in the end that there are no writers. This book argues that works of art, however intensely marked by the creative intelligence and private obsession of individuals, are the products of collective negotiation and exchange. The reign of scholarship continues, therefore. Yet, on the other hand, at least a few erstwhile scholars are surreptitiously defecting to criticism, among them Kerrigan himself. "I was trained by scholars," he writes, "and speaking of character development in Hamlet makes me uneasy. But I do not know how else to describe the shift from the self-loathing Hamlet of the final two soliloquies to the beautifully calm Hamlet of Act V. Philosophically, Bradley was a Hegelian, and the struggle between him and Knights was a literary version of the long-running contest between German, or continental, idealism and British empiricism. But both traditions trace ultimately to classical antiquity, and Carrigan ends his survey with Aristotle. So we need to understand Hamlet's beginning and his end, and need to put them together. Modern Aristotles, puzzling out the mysterious tragedy of character, we must connect beginning, middle, and end. That's the way it's done.